Yasodanandana Vajjana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhuttale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vite Namine Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhuttale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vite Namine Namaste, Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Pacharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paskacharya Jatarane. Namaste, Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Pacharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadha Shri Vasudi Oh Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadha Shri Vasudeva Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Daya Vishnapada Paramahansa Bhavagatara Sota Sata Shishimad Divine Grace Chile Si Bhaktivedanta Swami Sila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Jai Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasati Go Bhaktivini Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Dwarka Dham Ki Mudamai Ganga Maya Ki Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jisi Radha Madhava Ki Jisi Astashaki Is Ki Jisi Gorni Tai Jisi Panchatattva Jisi Lord of Sringadev Ki Lord Srila Prabhupada Ki Goa Brahmanandi All glories of similar bodies. All glories of similar bodies. All glories of Sisi Guha Gurunga. All glories of Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9, Text 22 and 23. I'll just read the translation 22. O King, since the demons have promised to accept whatever the women did, whether just or unjust now, to keep that promise, to show their equilibrium, and to save themselves from fighting with the women, they remain silent. Text 23. Tasyam prititiparanyaha pranayapaya kataraha bahu manena kapabadhu nochu kinshana vipriyam tasyam kati paranyaha pranyaya papakaritaya bahu manena chabaya nochu kinchan vipritpiyam tachyam krititi prayanaha pranayapaya kritaya bahu manena kabadiha nochu kritiyan priyayam Ladies. Kinshana Vipriyam
Sankrayam.
Tasyam. Of Mohini Murti. Krita Ati Prayanaya. Because of staunch friendship. Pranaya Apaya Kritaya. Being afraid that their friendship with her would be broken. Bahominenana. By great respect and honor. Cha. Also. Abhayaha. Being too attached to her. Na. Not. Ucha. They said. Kinchana. Even the slightest thing. Vipriyam. By which Mohini Murti might be displeased with them. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Chi Chai. The demons had developed affection for Mohini Murti and a kind of faith in her, and they were afraid of disturbing their relationship. Therefore, they showed respect and honor to her words and did not say anything that might disturb their friendship with her. Please repeat. The demons had developed affection for Mohini Murti and a kind of faith in her. And they were afraid of disturbing that relationship. Therefore, they showed respect and honor to her words. They did not say anything that might disturb their friendship with her. Purport. The demons were so captivated. Oh, by the way, this is the essence of the whole chapter. The demons were so captivated by the tricks and friendly words of Mohini Murti that although the demigods were served first, the demons were pacified merely by sweet words. The Lord said to the demons, "The demigods are very miserly and are excessively anxious to take the nectar first. So let them have it first. Since you are not like them, you can wait a little longer. You are all heroes and are so pleased with me. It is better for you to wait until the demigods drink." Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Stavakale Shimati Bhakti Vedan Swami Atinami Anastasi. So these were the words that Mohini Murti spoke. First off, you're all very big heroes and big guys, and you're all infatuated by me. And so these sweet words pacified the demons so that they were, at least temporarily appeased. Now we go back a little history that Kashyapa Muni was the father of both the demons and the demigods. And so they divided into camps, and most of the demons were totally infatuated by the Mohini Murti incarnation of Lord Krishna. And so the same thing happened earlier in Lord Chaitanya's time. He disguised himself as a female in the 24-hour ecstasy happened at Srivas Pandit's house. And so even his mother didn't recognize him. And so here now he surpasses the goddess of fortune in beauty. Now that's saying a lot right by itself, that Krishna is so amazing that he can design something that can't be lifted and then lift it. And so the same thing by making something so beautiful out of himself, and nobody can surpass it. So the demigods were sitting in a distant place, and this was the arrangement of Mohini Murti to separate the two camps. And so the demons, being instructed by Mohini Murti that ultimately let them drink first. I mean, they're puffed up. The demigods are just, what they are. And so with these words, she kind of sweetly understood the nature of the demons, and under any circumstances could the demons get any of that nectar, because it reduces invalidity, old age, disease, and even death. And so if any of them got it, ultimately it would have been entirely different circumstances in the universe. And so as we go on with the chapter, we find out what happens. And so Rahu, as we know, is the is the antagonizing force for the moon and the sun. And so in this, as the chapter runs on, Rahu understood the whole thing that was going on. He was the only one that really picked up on it. And so he sneaked over to the demigods and changed his dress. Now, before all this happened, remember, they changed their clothes, they got clean, they took a bath in the Ganga to Jamuna, and then they were like, you know, sitting facing east and ready for the nectar. And the demigods were prone to get it because they were favored by the Lord. But the demons, now, thinking they had it in their hands, anyway, they're playing with it and thinking that who can take it first. So now to appease all that, this beautiful lady appears out of nowhere. And so she just dresses herself. They were trying to find out who she is. Who are you coming here from nowhere and appear with all these men? And so she said, well, I'm just like a prostitute. She says, I am a prostitute. And so, I mean, this is far from the truth. But she was appearing by herself, very innocent, very young, very beautiful, and very alluring to all these big demons. So, but smiles and sidelong glances and, you know, with the sweet words. And this is the instruction for all ladies that want to win their husband. So if you follow these simple factors, sweet words, nice smile, and most important, lots of mouth shut. And you conquered. So there's no problem, you conquer any man. So mainly the Mahaprasad. Anyway, so now here we are. The jug of nectar, it was full. It was going to spill if they didn't take it properly. So she gets a jug, and she takes it over to the demigods. And then Rahu does his little act. But because Rahu is antagonizing the moon and the sun, there's an animosity that goes on for perpetually. And so they picked up on it right away. He was disguised himself as a demigod, but the disguise didn't work for these two demigods. So remember, these demigods are very big in the universe. They have different, like Rahu, because he got that nectar and it got down to his throat, then chakra cut it off. Had it gotten to the body, he would have been immortal. So it stopped here. He didn't get a chance to touch the body. So the body died. So, but here on up was alive. So Rahu still is alive, and he's still antagonizing the sun and the moon on the different times, twice in the year. And so, or twice in a month, how often is it? Anyway, it's quite often, twice at least, dark moon and full moon. And so then there they are. So his head is off, and Lord Brahma figuring out the best thing I can do now is to make him a planet. So he is that invisible planet. Now today, astrologers, they still can't pick up on this. It's an invisible planet, and it's not picked up by any astrologer as far as I've ever heard. But the thing is perpetually going on because they think it's the sun and the moon having the eclipse in a way the astrologers, they try to line it all up. But they don't figure out Rahu's involved in this whole business. So, as the story rolls on, now the demigods are getting their nectar, and so finally they're all taking their nectar, and that means no more death, invalidity, no old age, just perpetual youth and perpetual bliss and wonderful understanding that God is a supreme personality of Godhead. He takes care of my devotees. But in the beginning, there was a problem with the demons. They were taking advantage of that nectar, and so what happens when the demigods are in trouble? Oh, Krishna, you go to Krishna immediately, direct me to the answer to this. So, same, and this is a story that perpetually goes on through the whole Bhagavatam, that when the demigods are in trouble, they run right away to Krishna. So it's good advice for all of us. If we have any problem, take it out, certainly with the Supreme Lord. He can understand and appease the situation. There are no problems within in a devotee community because ultimately we're not, our senses are not attuned to satisfying ourselves, our own senses, but rather we try to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Lord. And there is no problem after that instruction has been taken seriously. And so once we take advantage of the fact that we're here to satisfy the Lord, it's a beautiful slide. It's a very easy blend. But don't think it's going to be so much easy all the way through life. If Prabhupada said, if I told you in the beginning how difficult it was going to be, nobody would join this movement. And so I think everybody, senior men also, they've been fried crispy on both sides and burnt to the essence of the very core of their heart. Because ultimately, devotees with devotees are wonderful. And like men and women separately are wonderful. But together, there's dynamite, there's explosions that take place. And so Prabhupada tells here that actually there's a lot of devotees dressed like devotees who are not, they're karmis. They're putting on the apparel. I mean, a nice kurta, nice everything. But they're not devotees. And so maybe in the course of our developing Krishna consciousness, we may run into somebody like that. But remember, all of us have a demoniac nature within each and one, every one of us in this Kali Yuga. So it's something that they have to deal with the demoniac force inside each and every one of us. It's something that we have to recognize. Okay, so when it happened a couple times, and I mentioned this before in a class, that in L.A., one CIA agent tried to disguise himself and come into the grips of the devotional life and understand what the devotees were all about and how to tear down the devotional creeper and to destroy the movement from within. So it didn't work. Now these so-called devotees, they had to get up early in the morning, take a cold shower, sleep on the floor, you know, in a room with hundreds of devotees sitting next to sleeping next to each other. So all these austerities didn't make it very well. And so they were recognized pretty fast, and ultimately they didn't make it very long. And but they tried. They tried their best, but they thought in the end, these guys got to be okay. I mean, they get up early in the morning, they shower cold water, and they're chanting 16 rounds, and they're not taking any intoxication. What can be wrong with these guys? So the movement's got to be okay. And so they left. The same happened in Montreal. It was mentioned here in a class that another CIA or FBI man joined in Montreal. And he was perfectly, I mean, he garlanded himself, and he was like looking really smart. And so he was paying obeisances even to all the different devotees. And so he paid his obeisances to anybody that came into his vicinity. But then all of a sudden, everybody started paying their obeisances back. He couldn't handle it. And according to Lakshmi Muni, he got up and left immediately. And so you just have to be careful who you're next to. Who's a demon? Who's a devotee? And so, in any case, as the story goes on, in the next chapter, it's going to be a big war between the demigods and the demons. And it's just like the Mahabharata all over again. Only bigger personalities fighting demigods, you know, Shiva. And there's three big personalities that are big cheaters. And that's Lord Shiva. He cheats. That's Mohini Murti. And who's the other one? Buddha. So these three are misleading the whole populace because of reasons. Each reason is meant to be given and is given as each one incarnated. And so we are definitely misled by the runs of material energy. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we've been able to understand the correct way and how to get through this life. And I have a lot of stories about Srila Prabhupada I'd like to get into a little bit. I've got a book coming out. It's on Prabhupada, and the book is filled with illustrations. And I'm going to pass around a couple of these. In the book, there was the Avalon Ballroom experience, and Prabhupada was dancing with Ginsberg, and the Hare Krishna mantra is flashing on the screen. And so it looks something like this. And this is a print, so I'll pass it around. So just to get a little of something there. To enliven the class a little bit, to make it different than normal. Then Prabhupada gave an instruction that he said the reason for the Vietnam War was of twofold. One was to stop the hippie movement, and the other to kill off all the blacks and the hippies. And so that worked very effectively until the protests were so strong. But that's what this one's all about. You can pass. You can pass them around. These are prints. The rest of these are originals. I'll just show them. There's one story Prabhupada tells. He's in his room and here in Mayapur. And in the room, all of a sudden, there's a sound. And he looked out the window. That's a snake bird. So a snake bird is something that was here earlier in the years in Mayapur. And apparently, I heard Jai Bataka shot one down. They're designed specifically to kill a certain person. So they develop a king cobra. They develop wings in a certain time, and then they go and kill that person, and they go off and they die themselves. So there's a snake bird. One thing that is mentioned, Rameshwar was given a question. He was with Prabhupada when Prabhupada was asked this question by a reporter. He said that the reporter was asking, Srila Prabhupada, where do you get your information from? I mean, you're very clearly defined. Every answer is really coming from a higher source, it seems like. And so then Rameshwar said, well, according to Bhagavatam, that the spiritual master is benedicted, he's transcendental. Everything that he says comes from a higher source because he's ultimately connected to Krishna. And Krishna works in a funny way of giving that information. No. Prabhupada said, no, not like that at all. It's direct. It comes directly from the Supreme Lord. And this is Prabhupada given that, taking the instruction as Krishna dictates. And so it's like time bombs going off in a period of time. And right to the very end, Prabhupada was preaching and giving that instruction as he got it from the Supreme Lord. Nothing in between. So the reporter just couldn't believe that somebody could take that information coming directly from God and using it in every different way possible, like when the building should be bought, when the there's one funny story. There's some stories that have never been told. I'll tell so many stories. One time, Shama Sundar was with Prabhupada in Zurich. He was in Switzerland. And so there was frozen in. There was snow coming from every direction. And so Prabhupada, this is not paradise, this is hell. So all he could do is walk up and down the hallway. So in order to do something entertaining, he told Shama Sundar, listen, I want you to go down to the bank, make a deposit, but find out if there's anything that's coming up in the future, because he knew already that there was something coming. And so if there's anything coming up, let's find out how to invest the money and try to make a little profit. Now, this is a gambling thing, so it's not definitely recommended. But then Karender was called to bring money, bring like $50,000, and bring it to Zurich. We're going to open a temple. So then when he brought the money to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada gave it to Shama Sundar. He said, okay, go down and play the stock market. Karender just violated, no, Srila Prabhupada, you can't do that. That's gambling. Well, Shama Sundar can do it. He's above all that. So he was allowed to go ahead and do it. And so for a period of time, they were watching the stock market rise. It kept going up. And they doubled their money, and it leveled out. It peaked. And Prabhupada said, okay, sell it. So just as a diversion, it was like something that they played with, and they doubled their money. There was one devotee in Los Angeles he was looking through the keyhole. Now, forgive me if you've heard these stories before, but this is really really amazing. And so he was looking through the keyhole. You know, in the doors you can see through and you can look and see what Prabhupada is doing. If you need anything, need any help. So that particular devotee looked in. He saw Prabhupada shining like in this light coming out of nowhere. He was effulgent, and he was like looking like he was made out of silver and crystal eyes. And And then he left it, and it was too personal, so he walked away. He came back later just to check again. And then this time, his Prabhupada rolling on the floor and laughing all by himself. He was laughing and rolling on the floor. And so why would he be doing that? And so he asked, and he was asked by the boy. So Prabhupada said, well, I was wrestling with Balaram. Now, Prabhupada wrestling with Balaram gets a garland from Krishna in the early, early days, and Jan Singh. And so all these amazing stories, and there's a garland being given by Krishna. And so Prabhupada Akachara, who was that first devotee, he asked Prabhupada, because he came back from a trip, and he was in Jan Singh the next day. And so there was Prabhupada playing a mridanga and just going out of just like in complete ecstasy, dancing, bouncing off the walls, chanting Hare Krishna. And so he asked Prabhupada, where'd you get that garland? And the garland was not like normal garland. It was big kadamba flowers, and they were like size of like, you know, big oranges. And so normal size of kadamba is just like a small thing. And so in any case, Prabhupada said, well, I was chanting and I was meditating on Krishna, and Krishna appeared and gave me the garland. And as soon as I tried to touch his feet, he disappeared. And so from that point on, I lost it. I just couldn't stop chanting. And so Prabhupada was in ecstasy, and he was chanting, the hair on end and eyes, you know, full of tears. So then here's one for Gurukulak's teachers. So I don't know if you remember this, but there was a point when Prabhupada was at Dallas, and he was making a little fun. He says, I got two sticks. They're two pointers that you use on a blackboard. And so now these two, one is for the teacher and one is for the students. And one is for the head and one is for the hands of the students. And so Prabhupada did another thing, which I just heard about. Now you can tell me if it's correct. But he had all these boys, he got the teachers out of the way. He had all the boys line up on their hands and knees in a long file. So then he did, like in the days of Krishna and Balaram, they played leapfrog. So they jump over each other and they play a child game that they were playing. It's like, you know, with the gopas. So Prabhupada did the same thing. He got in a line. He started jumping over the boys. Have you heard? Did you see that? And anyway, so and then the boys jumped over Prabhupada. You know, the leapfrog. Now, who has ever heard that? I just heard it. It just completely blew my mind. Then there's another story. I went to Chippewala, where Prabhupada started in New Delhi, right across from the Jamna Mosque, a very famous location. And so at that time, we were the first devotees to arrive there, and there was a cupboard. Prabhupada's cupboard was full of these dust jackets, packed solid, hundreds of these things sitting there. And there was a typewriter. It was still there, and by the Krishnadas, who was the in charge of that temple. And it was a very clunker. It was like you had to push really hard, and he was punching down with two fingers. It had a carriage that flipped open. And so in order to type on that thing, you had to have a lot of pressure, and it wasn't very fast. So Prabhupada was chanting, and then he was like, you know, typing away. And so then I went up on the roof, and I started to make a drawing for this picture. And so as I was starting this is the view looking across the street at the Jamna Mosque, which is the biggest Muslim mosque in Asia. And so when I was up there working, a lady came by who was living in that building up on the roof, and she kind of looked at me and wondered what I was doing. And I started to explain to her that, well, my spiritual master used to live here, and his view was across from this roof, and I wanted to show that to everybody. I said, who's your spiritual master? So I had some Back to Godheads, and I gave her a couple Back to Godheads, and as soon as it opened up, she started crying, oh, Prabhupada, you did it. So she was living at the same time Prabhupada was downstairs. And so she said, well, he would come and he would go. He would be there working all night, and then he'd disappear, and I didn't know what he was doing. But he promised he would make a revolution that would change the world. Now you're telling me he's done it. He's done it. Srila Prabhupada is such a great personality. And she was crying, and tears were popping out of her eyes, and she just couldn't hold back. You know, it was really a wonderful moment to meet that lady. And then there's another incident that took place in Vrindavan. Prabhupada is in his room, very quiet, very peacefully sitting there chanting. Then suddenly he starts talking in monkey talk. And so outside the door, it was Jamuna Devi Dasi who was like preparing the lunch. So she was watching from outside. She saw the monkey listening to Prabhupada. And so it was like this. And so the monkey is completely astonished that somebody can speak the same language. And so Prabhupada is speaking to that monkey, and the monkey is looking at him and says, "What are you doing? How can you talk in my monkey talk?" And so instead of he chastised the monkey, he says, "Listen, you were a bad boy in your last life. So now you got a monkey body. So don't worry, you'd be a monkey in this life and you go back at home in your next life." And so you were a Goswami, and Goswamis who are actively nonsense in Vrindavan take monkey bodies. It wasn't just for the present monkey bodies, Goswamis, but it was for all Goswamis and anybody who does nonsense in Vrindavan. So it was just a flat rule for anybody. And so she asked, "What did the monkey say?" Well, the monkey wanted to know when there would be some prasadam. But I told him, "Just go, because now your time is up. Just leave." And here's another one that Shyamasundara's daughter, Saraswati, had access to Prabhupada's room at all times. If anybody had access, it was her. So she would come in, and almost invariably she'd have something in her mouth. So she'd be eating away and talking to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked her one time, "Do you know New York?" And she said, "No." "New York is a place where they got big trucks, and the big trucks go by, and they open their big mouth in the back, and they open up like this, and they close down, and they eat the garbage that comes into their mouth. These are the New York garbage trucks." So I said, "Your mouth is like the garbage truck." And so you're eating all the time. And so when you're eating like that, you remind me of the garbage trucks in New York. She just swallowed what she was eating, ran off, and didn't say another word. So these are some illustrations that are in the next book coming out this month, and Prabhupada Acharya book, all in full color. It's 100, almost 200 paintings done in detail to express things that Prabhupada has never been seen or heard or talked about before. So a lot of new things that were told to me, and things that I saw, and things that happened to me and others, like Shyamasundara and Gurdas, and so many people who saw the side of Prabhupada that didn't really surface to everybody. And so one thing that happened to me, several things, I mean, I got a lot of mercy, and I was somehow or other in the right place, the right time. And so I always lamented that I was always sitting in the back or in the back. One time I'm sitting in the back, and it was a 75, and Prabhupada was giving a class, the Bhagavatam class is going on. And I looked around in the room, and everybody was sound asleep. The whole room was just zonked off, and they're like, Krishna said, Srimad Bhagavatam is a cure for insomnia. So if you want to go to sleep, now's a good time. And then, and so I looked around, and I looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at me. He definitely, he observed that everybody was sound asleep in the class. Then another thing happened, which was so astounding, that after one of these classes, then Jagadish gave a class, and I told this to Lakshmi Muni, and she just felt embarrassed. But here, Jagadish is a minister of education at that time. And so he's given a class, and everybody's sound asleep in his class. He put everybody so sweetly sound asleep. And so then he fell asleep. So it had to hit the microphone, and it had the perfect touch. Then he woke up and he picked up exactly where he left off and gave the rest of the class. Now, Hari Sari said he was very famous for that. I didn't know that. So these are a few of the stories that I wanted to give you. And some of the things that, I'll just go through some of these points. If you know any drunkards, Varuni is the key factor who became part of the demons. She's the goddess for drunks. And so she can help anybody who's drunk and make them drink. Soma Ras for us is the Charitamrita, and the nectar comes from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So we're getting like a certain amount of nectar coming from us. And about immortality, well, we are immortal in the sense that ultimately in this life, it carries on into the spiritual life that hopefully we all go to. And the demons, they take great pride in the war, and the war that comes up in the next chapter is a big war, a very heavy, heavy confrontation with the demigods fighting each other. Now Shiva's fighting, and different, the Supreme Lord comes in and fights. They carry the battle to the finish. So then there's so much concern about the body and about women's attributes, how to conquer men. And so it's like it's very, very well known understanding that if you see women, sometimes they lift weights. And have you ever seen a weightlifting woman? It's a woman with big muscles like a man, but a head that's exactly the same as a woman. The head doesn't change, but the body can change. And then there was a guy, Charles Atlas, who was famous in his time. Don't kick sand in my face. And so he developed this very youthful body, but his head was a 90-year-old man. So you can't change your nature here. Oh, and the quality that Prabhupada picked up on for women was in an incident that he was with his friend, and one woman came in to have to clean. A cleaning lady came in to take some, do her job in where they were sitting. And so the shyness of that lady was a spark of very wonderful appreciation by Srila Prabhupada. So shyness, another key force that women have that in their makeup. And it's interesting that that Mohini Murthy made them promise first. Once the promise is made, then they're obliged to carry on and sit there and watch the demigods take the nectar. And it was really well done. It's interesting they were all facing east, and then part of this whole thing is that for the men's side now, the women have been given a very clear picture about how to satisfy their husbands and men in general. Okay, for the women, for the men now, if you want to make women happy, don't argue, because you never win. So you can't win. And if a woman gets her dandruff up, don't get in the way of the wrath of a woman's fierce. And I know that from my own wife. I mean, whenever I got out of the room, I just walk away. And there's a way by which you can have a wonderful experience in marriage life. And so you give each other a lot of space. I said this before, and it's really true, that I was talking to a newly couple married in Vrindavan, and I was saying, if you want to be happy with each other, allow space so that each of you have some freedom, a little bit of freedom to move. So my wife is in LA and I'm in Vrindavan, and it's perfect. Everything is wonderful. So I give you a lot of space, so halfway across the world. Okay, the permanent animosity between the Rahu, sun, and moon, and all the different demigods and the demons carries into the next chapter, which is very interesting, the way the whole effect of the whole thing works. And then the reason for this whole incident, how the Lord manipulated this whole thing, is to show the potency of that nectar, because it has because Rahu is still doing his number, so that means it's eternal. And so these demigods have been blessed with the nectar that got churned from the milk ocean. And Shiva was smart enough to take all that poison because nobody else could handle it. But now that nectar is still permeating within our universe, and in all universes combined with the demigods. So that potency is very clearly illustrated by this whole incident that took place with Rahu getting his head cut off. And so ultimately, the nectar for which we are always anxious is certainly plentifully available, in the Mahaprasad, Charitamrita, chanting the holy name. And everything that we do is a wonderful opportunity for us to make a spiritual advancement. And if we have this demoniac force within us and we still can't conquer it, the only way to do it is to cut your head off. That's one way to do it, or else just chant more rounds and get. So one of the most important factors about devotional life, as far as I can see, is that we don't ask for anything. It comes automatically. Whatever we need, automatically it comes in a matter of minutes or days or months or years. One devotee who kept praying to Radharani in Vrindavan, "Oh, my dear Lord, Srimati Radharani, I love this girl so much. Please make it available so that I can marry this girl." And so he kept praying like that, and finally, there was no answer. And finally, it did answer, and the guy is suffering still. So you got to be careful what you pray for. Don't pray for something material. Anything material, be it for this body, for other bodies, or for your nation, worldwide, whatever it may be, we don't ask for anything. It's all given graciously. And if we just do everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, ultimately, we make the supreme benediction and we go back home, back to Godhead. So another way to look at it is not to satisfy your own senses, but to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Lord. Now, there's a little time for questions. Anybody wants to? I'm sorry, I don't have more of these pictures, but in another month you can buy the book. The book will be available. There's a take the cord. Where's the microphone? Did Prabhupada give lectures about Rahu? Yeah, well, there's a lot being said about Rahu and all the planets. There's no place. I bet on Rahu's planet. Now, he's got a planet, but who's living on Rahu's planet? Now, he never said. I mean, that's a good question, because I never heard anybody heard any answer about that. Who's living on Rahu's planet? Maybe just Rahu. But on every planet and every part of the universe and all universes, there's life. So there's no place where there's no life. So even on Rahu's planet, there must be somebody living there. Maybe he's got his family there. Who knows? That's as best I can do with that one. Anybody else? Oh, yeah. Yeah, speak up a little more and more.
Anything within the material world, even the heaven, anyone living in the heaven, they are affected by old age sickness. And this is then why demons and heavenly gods are fighting for nectar, because there is no point in nectar.
Okay, this is a two-pronged question. In the material world, Indra Loka is, there are planets within material world, heavenly planets. And so we don't go there because ultimately we know it's limited. How much you can get out of a planet that's in a material manifestation. And so the different, if you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and the difference between Goloka Vrindavan and Gokul. Gokul, a lot of these pastimes are reoccurring, even in Gokul, where the demons keep coming, Kamsa keeps coming, and he dies, and he gets reborn again, and he doesn't even know that he got already killed once. But it's a roadshow. And so, like, the roadshow that we hopefully will get to be on will be with Krishna. And so we ultimately will flow along with the different pastimes and the killing of demons, and witness it all directly with Krishna. And so the spiritual benefit of being in the heavenly planet is limited, like the Brahma Jyoti, that ultimately, I mean, I had a friend who was a Pukka Mayavadi, and he just was, all he wanted to do was get into that Brahma Jyoti. I says, good luck. I says, you're going to have a good time for billions of lifetimes. You're not going to even see anything except the light. What can be better than to be like God? You get a real boost. You get a Shakti there by being plugged into the Brahma Jyoti. And so, and they believe that they are like God. And so, if you talk to somebody and they're in this mood about being like God, they want to be God. Ultimately, the last snare of Maya is people want to be God. When everything else fails, I want to be God. And so, I think maybe everybody in the material world goes through this stage maybe at some point, to some degree. But ultimately, there's another point that I had this friend who was a confirmed atheist. And so I mentioned this before, but he had a book. And that book, it was a big book, only much bigger. And it was Who's Who in Hell. And he was in the book. And so he was a confirmed atheist. And I tried my best, and I just couldn't crack it. Because they complain about the Bible being full of mistakes and just different things that just are erroneous, and big changes happen in the Bible. I said, forget the Bible. I mean, it's a mundane literature in some sense, because ultimately it's been changed by people who don't really understand what spiritual life is all about. Because the Bhagavatam is a perfected instrument, because it's one purified being after another passing down that knowledge. And we get it directly from the Supreme Lord through Parampara system. And so that's the difference between the heavenly planets and the Goloka Vrindavan, where everything is 100%. So does that answer that? Is that close enough? Maybe I missed a point. Anything else? Yeah. No, that's not true. Maybe I misunderstood. The problems are going to come, especially if they're karmis dressed like devotees. You're going to get that no matter what. And I think every old devotee is part of that whole thing. And I guarantee I've been trained. I was in the U.S. Navy before I joined the movement. I got trained up to be an ISKCON devotee, because ultimately it wasn't easy. In fact, it was like a struggle every inch of the way. Everything I did, I made bronze panels for Vrindavan. I worked for 40 years in Vrindavan, and I made hundreds and hundreds of Prabhupada murtis, and these bronze panels we made was just like, it was hard enough to make the panels, do it in bronze, because it's a very difficult medium. But the most difficult thing was dealing with devotees. And everything I did in Vrindavan was destroyed because of one envious nature, another, just who knows, but it's karma. So we have this residue karma that we have to deal with from our previous life. All of us have desires from a previous life, and that's what we are. These bodies are manufactured just a mechanism of what we were from past life, and desires. So if we have these desires, they're still hanging into our being. Eradicate it. Just give it up. Don't have any desires, and ultimately you go back to God with a flash. Ultimately, desires are the things that are just holding us back. We can't have any before we can be allowed to get back to Goloka Vrindavan. So there are problems within devotee life. And the reason for these problems is to take it as stepping stones rather than stumbling blocks, so that whatever problem comes up, just face it and go on. Because ultimately, life is short, and we have so little time to reach perfection. And so that's the whole key, just to have no desire and be like, even there were some good demons who wanted the devotees to take, demigods to take take their first drink. So even in the material world, you'll find a lot of people who are very receptive to devotional life. And so you encourage that. You go in there and you preach where there's a spark. And so, and then wherever you can do something more, that's wonderful. You know, just keep preaching. That's the best we can do. I have all my friends and my relatives in my hometown. I'm going back shortly to revitalize, so hopefully preach to somebody. But they don't want to hear it. They don't ask any questions. They're so regimented into their system about, you know, sense gratification and living in a high life. They don't, can't hear it. So very unfortunate that we are so happy and lucky to be able to have taken the mercy by Prabhupada's blessings, to be devotees and to take advantage of that. Don't let it ever, don't jump ship by any means. Don't ever feel so depressed or distorted by any means that you doubt or have any doubts about the whole outcome of this whole sojourn in this life. It's not that we go back home, back to Godhead. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, go permanently, hari hari bol. Yeah, sure, go ahead. No problem. Yeah. Maras.
Molto bene.
Molto bene. Grazie tante.